Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Andy Sweeney.
This is Harry Kane.
Block it.
Can Harry Kane do it? Can he save a nation?
No.
It is his magical moment to be had.
And James Strebel.
He moves in.
Yes!
He's blocked, but he ties it up with a goal.
No.
And there's the moment.
That's it.
Kane does it.
That's it.
There's the moment.
There it is.
Bleep offense.
I'm out of the pool.
Bleep offense.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
NBA Finals on ESPN Louisville. ESPN Louisville is your home for the NBA Finals. Wednesday, we've got Game 4, Suns at Bucks, 8 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Saturday, Game 5, Bucks back at Suns in Phoenix, 8 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville as well. Live play-by-play of the NBA Finals on ESPN Louisville is presented by Bear Nose Pizza, UPS Jobs, and U of L Health. And then MLB this week. Tonight, we've got the Home Run Derby, 8 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Jack just told me he laid down a hefty bet on that. Tomorrow, MLB All-Star Game. That's 7 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. And Thursday, back to the regular season as the Red Sox visit the Yankees, 7 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. Our next broadcast of Tyler Mountain Waters coverage of the Reds baseball begins Friday. They're back in action Friday. You got Brewers at Reds, 7 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. And then Sunday, again, Brewers at Reds. That's at 12:40 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. Jack, those Reds, man, I know you're Jack is on the phone right now with Jeff Greer, so I know I'm probably ruining his conversation as we're gonna have Jeff Greer on momentarily. But Jack, your hate for the Reds is a little unfounded right now, as they won some games against the Brewers, who are the leading team in the division, and they get them right off the heels of the All-Star break. So the Cincinnati Reds looking to make some hay against the Brewers. You can catch that here on ESPN 680 105.7. And now that I'm done talking about the Reds, that's all the Reds talk you'll have today, because I had to fill time to get Jeff Greer on the show. And now we have with us a true Renaissance man here. We've got Jeff Greer at Jeff Greer on Twitter, Floyd Street's finest, Lou City and Racing Lou play-by-play, host of Soccer City Radio here on ESPN 680 105.7. And just a jack of all trades. I mean, if you have a show that needs a fill-in guest, you damn well better believe that Jeff Greer should be at the top of that list. Jeffrey, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out with me, buddy.
Wow, that, what an intro, man. I'm honored by that, and I'm really sorry that your games didn't claim the blind pool for you.
Yeah, man. That's the most interested I've ever been in soccer outside of, you know, America playing in the World Cup. I was following it, Jeff. I don't know if you heard Sweeney and I during the last few weeks here on the take. I mean, we were watching it in his house. I was watching it myself at home. But, I mean, imagine that, Jeff. I was watching soccer by myself at home. I was so interested in it. So was it Pat Jagger's ended up winning the pool, is that correct?
He did. He won, and he got the $80, and then and even though he was given the exact opposite team he would be rooting for, still won $40 for England reaching the final. So he wins both ways. He had a big day yesterday.
So, yeah, Ince is a happy guy. I was littered with Jason Ince texts yesterday telling me about how great Italy was. And they were really good. And then, I mean, when you miss three PKs, I guess you're not doing any help to yourself. So there you go. So how about that, Jeff? I talked a little soccer today. I crossed that off my list.
That's great.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. So I'm looking at your Twitter page right now, Jeff, and your latest from the Floyd Street Tribune's up here, and it says why Marcus Carr is such a coveted transfer prospect. And if you look outside of, you know, obviously the numbers and the stats he put up at Minnesota, what else would Marcus Carr bring a program, specifically the University of Louisville, who he plans on visiting here? I believe he's visiting Texas this week and then has a future plan with Louisville, plan to visit Louisville in the coming week, next week or so. Tell us a little bit more about Marcus Carr and why he indeed is such a big deal to whoever gets him, Texas or Louisville.
Yeah, and I still think, I'm echoing what a lot of people have said. I know you guys have talked about it on your show. I still think Texas is the favorite to get him. I mean, if Louisville can get him on campus and he doesn't pop for Texas before that visit, I mean, you've got a shot. You know, you've got a chance to get in the ring and at least, make your pitch and see if they can get him in there. This is a guy who the AP writers who voted on all conference picked him first team in the Big Ten. I know the coaches poll was a little different. I think he was third in that or whatever it ended up being, but third team. But he's a really good elite lead guard. And you put the ball in his hands, he's really good in transition, he's really good in pick and roll. He can be a scorer, which is kind of what he had to be this past year. I don't know how much you watched Minnesota basketball, Friedel, but they were not fun to watch.
Right.
Very bad team. And believe it or not, they were even worse at shooting than Louisville was. They were the worst power conference team in the entire country in terms of effective field goal percentage. So they were just absolutely brutal. And that kind of made him turn into a similar role to Carly Jones, where he kind of had to do everything for his team. But 2 years ago, he set a program record for single-season assists. So he can be a distributor and creator for others as well, and that's why I think both schools really want him and why he's been atop the list of a lot of transfer portal stuff until Kofi Coburn showed up and blew that all up.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, Jeff Greer with us here on The Take on ESPN 680-1057. So that stat you just told me about the assists for Marcus Carr, kind of, I mean, there's this notion that he's a ball stopper. I've heard, you know, some people have that take that, you know, Marcus Carr, yeah, he's a good player, he's a good scorer, but he's a ball stopper, stops your offense. So that stat about assists kind of dispels that notion, right? Do you agree with that at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I think when you're on a bad team, and they had a couple of guys who in previous years, and Jack could speak to this more because I know he watches the Big Ten a lot, but they had a bunch of guys on their team who were good shooters in previous seasons. I think it's Kalser, the Gabe Kalser kid was pretty good. I know he was lights out when they beat Louisville in the tournament couple of years ago. And is usually a pretty good shooter. He shot something like 25% from three this year, something really miserable. And if you look down their whole list of their roster, I don't think anyone other than Marcus Carr shot better than 30% from three last year. So,
wow.
I mean, he just really didn't have anyone to pass to. So when your offense is that bad, I think the numbers are going to reflect it. And then if you watch them, you're going to see a guy who feels like he's got to do a lot more. Now, that being said, he would go wherever he goes. He's gonna want the ball in his hands. He's gonna be the creator, the creator. And that's there's a great opportunity for that wherever he goes. The question is, you know, if you go to Texas, you're dealing with Courtney Ramey, you're dealing with Andrew Jones,
right?
You're dealing with Devin Askew. You've got a crowded backcourt there.
Well, he should be worried about Devin Askew.
Well, to be fair. That's fair. He's a word body in the backcourt.
He, yes, exactly. He is a space filler that will get time.
Yes, yeah, he'll probably get a chance to at least play. But no, but and that's the thing, is wherever Marcus Carr goes, they're going to ask him to be creative as a scorer, creative as a passer, be a good defender, but by no means is he going to be, with better players around him, I don't think, a true ball-stopping, you know, Steve Francis type of point guard who just takes a bunch of shots.
Stevie Franchise, I love that. So two more on Marcus Carr before we talk about some Butch Beard, Purvis Ellison stuff. I'd love to get your thoughts on some of these things. Last two for Marcus Carr. Number one, how would he be able to elevate Louisville the way that maybe Carlique Jones did it? And that's not a slight against Carlique Jones. I thought he was a very good college player, but ultimately they did miss the tournament with Carlique Jones. He kind of wore down the season. And then in your estimation, if Louisville does get Marcus Carr, what does that put them in the realm of the top 25?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. I think if they get Marcus Carr, I think they would probably be on the back end of the top 25. I mean, I think they would be in the top in contention for the top four in the ACC, which, as you know, is usually going to put you top 20, top 25 if you're any of those top four or five teams. There's obviously some other really talented teams on paper in the ACC, too. But Louisville's biggest missing piece right now, to me, was and still kind of is a game-breaking, drink-stirring type guard. And I'm not talking about, you know, we're not going to see De'Aaron Fox or Donovan Mitchell or, you know, Alonzo Ball, these guys who are really, really good at creating for others at an extremely high level. But Marcus Carr is in the same vein as a Carlique Jones in that he's a really good college player. I do think he's quicker. I think he's a little bit more, he's got a little bit more speed, a little bit more strength, and a little more size than Carlique. So I think that might separate him just a little bit and just give them some more options. And then, again, you know, look, if you put him on a team where they've got guys like Noah Locke and you know, if he's playing with Jared West off the ball is a really good catch-and-shoot type guy, Matt Cross, they've got guys who can make him look good as an assist guy and take the load off of him. So
absolutely,
I think that's where the big plus comes for him joining a team.
No, absolutely. I think that takes a lot of pressure off Jared West having to be good immediately, because I think without
and LLS too.
And LLS too. I mean, without Marcus Carr, I mean, those guys have to be good. All right, Jeff Greer here with us. Again, Jeff Greer wears many hats around here, Lou City FC, Soccer City, Floyd Street's Finest, Floyd Street Tribune, just an all-around big concern. Now, I know that you read the article that Rick Bozich released last Thursday about Purvis Ellison. I'm assuming you did.
Yeah, I did, and I also heard that Butch Beard had some thoughts on the show today, although I have not had a chance to listen.
Absolutely, and I'm going to play you. There's a ton. I mean, we could do an hour and a half on this discussion. I know you don't have that time, so I just want to focus on the Purvis Ellison stuff real quick, because I think, to me, that's one of the most important things about this conversation, Jeff, is the recruiting aspect, where you have a former player, not only a former player, a guy that has his number retired, that has an AAU program full of elite stars, and him claiming that Chris Mack and company have not reached out to him about those players. Here's what Butch Beard had to say about Purvis Ellison making those claims.
Well, to my knowledge, what Purvis said is the truth. And I've talked to Purvis a couple of times. I've talked to Purvis. Purvis called me after my letter came out. Okay. And Purvis told me about some things that had gone on while he was at the University of Louisville. And I told him that I would discuss that, okay, with Dr. Benaputi, which I did. Okay? So, I don't know, to my knowledge, I don't think Purvis called Rick Bozich. Okay? I think Rick Bozich called him about recruiting, because, you know, in Louisville, college basketball is bigger than life itself.
Right.
There's nothing else other than college basketball in Louisville and Kentucky. I don't know if there's anything else happens in the world until, you know, we get to college basketball, get it out of the way. Okay?
All right, Jeff, so that's what Butch Beard had to say, kind of backing up Purvis Ellison and his comments. Do you have any information about whether or not U of L has maybe not just reached out to Purvis personally, but, you know, talked to a guy like DJ Wagner about coming to Louisville? Because that seems to be one of the things that people focus on with the Bozich article, is that he didn't follow up with U of L. Do you have any follow-up with U of L in any capacity with that? And then what are your overall thoughts? Is this a dereliction of duty for Chris Mack maybe not to utilize this tool in Purvis Ellison as a recruiter?
Well, look, I think that, as with anything, that you're going to run into layers of you know, it's a very complicated subject. So I realize that several former players, particularly guys who played in the 80s, have had some frustrations with Louisville over the years, and I know it dates even beyond the Kenny Payne stuff in 2018 about whether or not he was adequately considered for the job or anything like along those lines. Then stuff that existed before any of this, you know, Chris Mack and Kenny Payne stuff even came up. There was frustrations about a variety of other things. And a lot of it, I think, can be justified, and a lot of it can be explained if you have conversations with people on the inside of the university. I think Neely Bendapudi did a really, what's the right word? I mean, obviously thoughtful response to it. Sure. by reaching out and trying to meet with them. And I know they've tried to do other things in the past to do that. So the thing about Purvis is, I mean, Louisville recruited Lance Ware. Louisville signed Fresh Kimball, mm-hmm. who was a Purvis Ellison guy, and
right.
They worked with Purvis to land him. And as far as I know, there had been contact with DeJuan Wagner, obviously DJ's dad,
sure.
at some point in recent months. So, you know, I don't have phone records, and I haven't specifically asked in a last
Why not?
Couple of
What's
days
going on?
Article. I know. I need to tap some phones. I need to get some screenshots. But no, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to what, you know, Mack and Purvis Ellison's conversation would be like. I can't speak to what their relationship is. But as far as I know, I think Louisville has a justifiable understanding that they're probably not going to get DJ Wagner.
Sure.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
he might just nobody might get DJ Wagner, Jeff. I mean, by that time, you know, kids might be able to jump from high school straight to the NBA, and DJ Wagner would be one of those guys. And I know if that's not the case, the G League is going to be offering him probably over $1 million to play in the G League. So, I mean, it's probably pro in some capacity, or you would give Kentucky the edge as far as college because of the Wagner Calipari connection from Memphis. So I understand that part, but again, it's like, do fans want Louisville to, like Chris Mack, to try to swim in those waters, is kind of what I'm getting at here.
Oh yeah, no question about it. Of course they do. I think they have tried with certain situations. I mean, I feel like they tried very, very much so to land some of these guys who have ended up being five-star players elsewhere. Caleb Love, DJ Stewart ended up going to Duke. Adam Miller.
Right.
They worked really hard on those guys. They recruited Isaiah Jackson. I mean, the list is on. It goes on and on and on. Of guys that they have gone after, and that was a Luke Murray project that he would try to get Louisville to. And I know you guys use this phrase to swim in those waters,
yeah.
to go after those types of prospects. So I do think that as long as there are questions about the NCAA side of things and what might happen with the FBI stuff, if and when anything ever comes down from that, I do think that kind of hangs over Louisville's head a little bit. But I also think they've got to have a really good season. I think they've got to be good.
Yeah, that's important.
Good in 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's Jeff Greer saying that, people, not me. Don't get mad at me.
But it's true. Like, yeah. I mean, they haven't been to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament since, what, 2017?
Yeah.
2015.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 2017 they were a 2 seed and they lost in the second round. So, I mean, Louisville is not – we talk about this all the time, and I'm sure you guys do too, that, you know – there are programs that don't catch recruits' eyes the way they might if you and I were you know, 15, 20 years younger.
Sure.
Like Indiana, it's like, if Indiana sent you a letter,
thank you, Jeff.
Like, oh, man, wow, Indiana, that's a blue blood, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But there's probably a lot of kids who are like, has Indiana been in the tournament? Like, who? What, like, why would I be interested in them? And then Gonzaga
right.
calls, and you're like, oh my God, Gonzaga is calling me.
Or Michigan with Juwan Howard. I mean, he's ascended into to one of the hottest recruiters in the country in a very short period of time. And you know, Michigan was damn good last year, chance to go to the Final Four. So yeah, the landscape of college basketball has shifted dramatically to some non-traditional powers for sure.
Yeah, and I know you and I disagree on this, but Texas is going to be in that category very quickly.
I'm starting to bend the knee here a little bit to Chris Beard. We'll see how the season plays out, but the dude put together a great staff. He's put together a good team. He's really knocked it out of the park. I mean, I think between Kentucky and Texas, can you name two schools that did better in the transfer portal, really, in the offseason, especially if Kentucky lands Kofi Coburn?
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't. So, I mean, that's going to be a really fascinating program to follow here to see if they can match the wins with some of the early juice. And that kind of touches on the Chris Mack thing, too. When he was hired, there was some juice there. They had the Louisville Live, and you know, there was a little swagger to him and his staff, and they had a great at least start to the first year and kind of backslid towards the end there, but still exceeded expectations by even making the tournament.
Right.
And I think a lot of people just want to see that again. I think they just want to see Louisville have some swagger and Mac have some swagger. And I think getting a guy like Marcus Carr, or even if they don't get him, having a good team that is a tournament team and is a threat to win games in the tournament will get them to feel like they have a little bit of mojo again, and maybe that'll help them out in recruiting.
Jeff Greer, man, I appreciate you coming on and carving out some time today for us. Great conversation. What do you have coming up this week? What shows are you doing here in the old ESPN 680 studios? And anything you want to tell us about Floyd Street's Finest or the Floyd Street Tribune?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I'll see you tomorrow and Thursday in the studio.
There we go.
You guys are coming in.
Yep.
I'm doing the Z Show Tuesday and Thursday. Of course, we got Soccer City every week, every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. And then I got Sam Williamson on the podcast this week. We're trying to pin down a time for that. So that'll be really good. And actually working on the newsletter right now. So got plenty of stuff coming for people this week. It'll be a good week.
All right. Follow Jeff Greer at Jeff Greer on Twitter. Got a ton of good stuff if you're a Louisville fan. Jeff, appreciate the time, and I'll see you tomorrow, I guess. Have a good evening.
All right, sounds good. Be nice to Jack for me.
I will, absolutely. Always nice to Jack. That's Jeff Greer joining us, just a man of all seasons, Jeff Greer. Kareen, you want to play some? We haven't played much funny sound. All the sound we've played today is very serious. I don't know. The Jody sound was pretty funny. But most of the sound we've played today is very serious. I have a couple of things here that I'm looking at. I have some things that'll make me mad, obviously. But here we go. Let's go ahead and let's keep the conversation with the Purvis stuff, because I've got a stare me in the face here, Jack, and a Sunday morning hangover caller fed up with Purvis, Eves, and Butch Beard. And then we'll follow that with a Sunday morning hangover texter mad at the Take and Rick Bozich. So let's get those two back to back.
Good morning, guys. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this, but I'm a black guy, older black guy, U of L graduate. I wish the administration and Coach Mack would not give in to these crackpots. I mean, the malcontents, Butch Beard couldn't win at his lower division basketball head coaching job, neither could Jerry Eves. Coach Mack has reached out to former players, and what more can he do? So they should quit giving in to these guys. I'm sort of fed up with it.
Ha ha ha. He's fed up with it. All right.
He went on one, man.
He did. He was on one. Absolutely. All right. What about this texter, Matt of the Take, and Rick Bozich?
This texter coming down 4379680. It's not an accomplishment for the rerun. I mean the take to get Bozich on to talk about the interview with Purvis. He comes on every Thursday with them. Only goes on anti-U of L shows because they can ask him softball questions.
That's right. Andy and I, before Rick Bozich comes on Thursdays, we ask, you know, we discuss the weakest questions that we could throw.
We map it out, actually.
Yeah,
we have a meeting at 1 p.m. every Thursday. With Bozich on Zoom.
How can
we
clear
every question?
Yeah, how can we handle you with kid gloves this week, Rick? Is there any, what conversation do you want to steer us away from? Just let us know. That's pretty funny. I mean, man, this is a time. I mean, I know that you know, this isn't Andy's favorite subject, and look, I understand that because it is a recycled take, but it's something that continues to rear its head around Louisville basketball. And look, I sympathize with Chris Mack because I'm sure he's tired of hearing about it. I'm sure he's ready to move on and just coach basketball. But you know, when you have Butch Beard call Bobby V today and spend 30-45 minutes with him on the V show, we've got to talk about it. Some of the stuff he talked about is important, and we'll talk with Perrin Johnston about 5:05 at the 5 o'clock hour to dive deeper in depth with this. But look, I get it. I'm sure they're ready to run away from this. So, like, I can't blame them at all. Let me read some text here before we take another break. We're going to get Mark Story from Lexington Herald Leader and talk about Kentucky. So Louisville, I gave you your Louisville fix. Now it's very nice. I didn't say anything. Did I say anything out of bounds? Did I, Jack?
You were well behaved.
Straightforward interview. I didn't make any wisecracks or anything.
Disappointed.
Yes, I'm sure he is. Right now on ESPN 680 105.7, the UPS Jobs text line, innocent blank going at it right now on 93.9. Wow, that has.
Jack's
eyes just bugged out. He was like, ooh. It was like me looking at IG models. He has the same face.
He did have them both today.
Did she? Yep. Oh, anyway, I might have to look at that. Texter says, ask Greer. I should have asked him this, but I got this text after. Ask Greer what he thinks Reed Shepard's going. Look, Reed Shepard's going to Kentucky. I mean, there's all the future casts are starting to come in already on the crystal ball, and they're all going to Kentucky. Louisville fans, it was really cute and funny when you guys were like, Chris Mack, go get Reed Shepard. Take Cal out into the front yard and fight him over Reed Shepard. It was cute. You all wanted him. Don't act like you don't want him anymore. I had Louisville fans on my Twitter. It doesn't matter. He's not even the best player in Kentucky. We don't want him anyways. Like, no, y'all wanted him bad. Quit lying to me. You wanted him bad. You tweeted about it. Chris Mack, he lost this one. And I'm not even blaming Chris Mack on this. I mean, Reed Shepard is going to go to Kentucky. All right. Texter says, you won't play hardball with someone you want on your show every week. That's obvious. I mean, Amy's going to ask Rick Bozich if he followed up with UofL. He said that. He's going to ask him flat out. We don't play softball with Rick Bozich. Texter says,
we play softball on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday's Gas Bag Gambling or Softball League.
Gas Bag Gambling League.
Yeah, what a stupid interview with Greer. Strebel with a straight troll job. Strebel like a fat kid in a candy store. No sleamy to keep his honkish takes in check, so we spend 3 hours blasting U of L and Mac. I'm giving Mac credit. I'm saying I'm on his side, and I didn't. What did I say?
The only thing
what
I
troll
think
job
of
did that, I give Jeff Greer?
It wasn't even like a direct troll job. It definitely wasn't of Greer. It was when you were asking the question of what could Marcus Carr do better than Carl Leak.
No, I wasn't trying to troll. Yet. I was. That's a legit.
Yeah, I was saying, that's a legit question. Where someone really wanted to take it.
Yeah, that was like, a legit question. I wasn't trying to troll anybody. I was just saying how could he. Because you know they didn't make the tournament with Carlique Jones, and people view Marcus Carr as a better player than Carlique Jones. How so? What does he do different than the Carlique that would make him better?
I would say that the biggest difference being Marcus Carr is better than Carlique Jones.
Yeah,
that's not
a bash against Carlique Jones. Carlique Jones was a great
really
player at Louisville.
But the biggest difference would be, as Jeff said, is that Louisville actually has guys on the team that are supposed to be able to make.
Noah Locke, yes. Matt Cross, Mike James, L. Ellis, all those guys.
Jalen Weathers in his natural position.
Exactly. So that wasn't a bash. It was a question. Look, they're so sensitive. I just did a straightforward interview with Jeff Gray. Didn't say anything controversial or mean. Troll job, Streeples. Like, settle down. Jeez Louise. Where the hell is Andy? Andy doesn't have a roof. He's fixing his roof. He's actually on top of the roof.
Needs the Carlin roofing.
With a hammer. And he's nailing shingles into his roof right now. Actually, I don't know what that's what he's doing. But that's where Andy is. He'll be back tomorrow. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to get Mark Story in here. We're going to talk about Kentucky. ESPN 680, 105.7. This is The Take.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Who is Tiana Trump?
Grossman?
I'm guessing someone in the Trump family. I'm going to go Trump's granddaughter.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is not.
And James Strebel.
Okay. She is a porn star.
Oh.
Yeah, you can find her on a Twitter if you want.
Hey. I wasn't expecting that.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right. Miss any of your favorite ESPN Louisville shows? Check out the podcast center at ESPNLouisville.com, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Rate, subscribe, and review. So if you missed that interview with Bob Valvano and Butch Beard, you can go back to the V Show podcast and listen to that. Or if you're interested in the podcast Day of the Take or Diener Show or maybe in Rummage, The Drive, any of it. It's all there. It's located. You can find it. Just boom, you have the internet. You know how to use it. You can also stream ESPN Louisville anywhere in the world at ESPNLouisville.com, the ESPN Louisville app, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and more. And people, CarMax is hiring. They're hiring experienced auto technicians nationwide. Work on the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com. And we got Jack Grossman. He's working the phones. And he's getting on Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader. He's going to join the take here momentarily. All right. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. We've had a lot of conversation today about U of L, about Butch Beard, Purvis Ellison. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk some Kentucky with Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader. Mark Story at Mark C. Story on Twitter. Mark, thanks for joining the show. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, James. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And Mark, I probably said this to you before, but I appreciate you adding me on to the list of people to get to vote for the Kentucky Sports Person of the Year Award. So thank you very much. I vote on that every year and appreciate that. So should be exciting. Should be a lot of good players in the state of Kentucky, professional, collegiate, and whatnot this coming year. So it's going to be a fun race to have for sure.
No, it's going to be amazing because a lot of the sports will have doubled up. Because remember, a whole lot of sports seasons got moved back.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, fall of last year were conducted in the spring of this year. So, yeah, this is going to be the most competitive Kentucky Sports Figure of the Year voting ever.
I mean, you think about Madison Lilly for the UK volleyball team, and they won that championship, as you said, in the spring. You know, that's a fall sport. Got played in the spring. Kentucky wins the national championship. Madison Lilly, kind of the star player on that team.
Yeah, I would expect her to be a strong contender. You also have a ton of people with Kentucky ties in the Olympics. So it's gonna be a really interesting year.
Absolutely, Mark. Again, thanks for joining us. Just to jump off, I guess the most important conversation today anyway, the breaking news about C.J. Frederick having some type of lower body surgery. Initial reports was that he had a broken leg, had surgery on that, and then John Calipari released a tweet, you know, not soon after those reports started coming out, kind of downplaying the injury a little bit, saying that he, you know, had surgery, he's doing fine, fixing a pre-existing issue, and that he'll be fine by the start of the season. But as noted by KSR's Nick Roush, there's a history of John Calipari saying someone's going to be fine with injury like Keon Brooks and be out longer than expected. Do you have any clarification on the C.J. Frederick injury and a timetable, just to maybe get some facts straight on that?
No, not really. I'm technically on vacation, so
Gotcha. Oh, thank you for joining us on vacation, Mark. So appreciate that.
I had not been pursuing that real vigorously. It is true that that Calipari has sometimes downplayed injuries or the severity of injuries on his Twitter account. So, you know, we'll just have to see. I mean, it is kind of fascinating. One big difference between Kentucky in the coming year and Kentucky in the past year, when there were only like two guards on the entire roster, that Kentucky backcourt is suddenly super deep. So, you know, hopefully for C.J. Frederick's case, he's good. Calipari is right, and he's good to go at the start. But, you know, it would not be as catastrophic as it would have been losing a guard last year when there were no guards.
Right, 100. What do you mean? When Terrence Clark was lost, you know, early in that season, you know, before the Louisville game, I know he played a little bit in that game, but you could tell that he was hurt. I mean, that was catastrophic to Kentucky. I mean, they had other issues other than Terrence Clark not playing. I do think that they would have been better with him. I think he would have been a very good college athlete if he would have been able to play an entire season. But as you said, you know, especially after the coming off the heels of having Davion Mintz returning, and that definitely, you know, lessens the blow of C.J. Frederick if he can't go right away, because Davion Mintz was such a good player for Kentucky last season.
Yeah, Davion Mintz was their best player last year.
100%.
You know, in terms of production, you know, Isaiah Jackson was probably the best prospect. Well, no, not probably was.
Right.
You know, it's fascinating. Kentucky in the coming year, I think it's going to be the most experienced team in the history of the school. If you use the metric of career games started, I think it's about 367 career games started. And even like the 96 and 98 championship teams, which were both veteran teams at a time when players stayed in school longer, they were nowhere close to that. So, you know, it's kind of amazing that in a Kentucky era that's sort of been defined by one-year players to suddenly have a roster with all this experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Story joining us from the Lexington Herald Leader at Mark C. Story. That experience, Mark, that you're talking about right now, I mean, winning only 9 games last season, I absolutely lit a fire under John Calipari, and he utilized the transfer portal just about as well as anybody. I was talking to Jeff Greer previously, Mark, and I made the statement that I don't think anybody did as well as Kentucky or Texas in the transfer portal this season. Do you think that this is here to stay with John Calipari as far as him utilizing that as heavily as he did this year, or is it like kind of just a one-off thing? Now that he has Orlando Antigua and Chin Coleman in, he'll start focusing more back on getting those elite high school players. Do you see this as a longevity thing for Calipari in the transfer portal?
I do not think they will be as reliant on the transfer portal in most years as they have been this year. Mm-hmm. I do think he's hoping to get back into kind of the high-level high school recruits. My guess is it'll wind up sort of, you know, mixing sort of in between, kind of, you know, half and half, in terms of, you know, sort of like 50% of the level they're at this year, where, you know, they've been so active in the portal. You know, to go to sports, Kentucky, you know, we'll see what the impact is on Kentucky long term, but and at least for this year, with the one free transfer and the portal, has been very good to Kentucky in both men's basketball and football.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I was talking about the football, and we're going to move to basketball and Kofi Coburn here in just a moment, but I was talking about the football transfer portal, and I can just read them off to you here real quick, Mark. I mean, you got Jaquez Jones, Will Levis, Wandell Robinson, Trayvon Morgan, Luke Fulton, Justice Dingle, and then just recently, Darryl Rosenthal. I mean, Mark Stoops, I think, has done a fantastic job in the transfer portal this season. Every single guy came from a Power 5 program. Every single guy, you know, had playing time in their previous just stop. So I think that Kentucky football is really going to benefit from the transfer portal, maybe more so than the basketball team, honestly.
Well, you think you've gotten at least, you know, if as is widely rumored or seems to be expected, Will Levis is going to be the starting quarterback.
Right.
You will at least have four starters, you know, out of the portal with Levis, Wandale Robinson, Jaquez Jones, and Rosenthal, the tackle from LSU. And, you know, those are also four starters that, you know, filling pretty crucial holes. Kentucky desperately needs more dynamic offensive playmaking, which Wandale Robinson, if he stays healthy, will give them. You know, they obviously are in the market. They need a quarterback. And, you know, with Jamin Davis turning pro and sure. Derek Jackson getting injured, you know, they had a big hole at middle linebacker. And then the tackle, they just added to the team's strength. But, you know, they got a player that sure. was good enough to start for LSU. So, yeah, I mean, Mark Stoops, you know, I know when the portal first came in and the one free transfer, people were afraid that, you know, that was going to hurt Kentucky, and maybe it will long term. But at least for this year, it's been a big plus for UK.
Mark Story, journalist from the Lexington Herald Leader. Mark, I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to see what your answer is, because I'm going to ask you about both. What's the biggest story with Kentucky fans and particularly the Lexington Herald Leader right now? What gets more hits, Kofi Coburn or Reed Shepherd?
Well, without giving away any proprietary, Reed Shepherd gets more hits on Kentucky.com.
And I figured that was going to be the answer. I mean, this has turned into almost an obsession with Kentucky fans and Reed Shepherd. And obviously, Friday evening, the news comes down. Reed tweeted out that he did, you know, finally get that official offer from the University of Kentucky. And immediately, Mark, the things that went through my head were, one, Kentucky usually doesn't offer too many junior high school juniors, and two, did the Calipari staff feel pressured to offer Reed Shepherd from the fan bases? And then three, is Reed Shepherd good enough to be a Kentucky basketball player? And obviously Cal, who's watched him in person, actually saw something to this past weekend in Reed Shepherd.
Well, I will confidently answer three. Yes, he is.
Okay.
Did a lot of the fan base, would a lot of the fan base have been upset if that offer had not been made? Yes. I don't know that the fan base is, I don't think Kentucky was pressured into offering him, because I think he is a good player. And you know, it's interesting. I think in the John Calipari era, Reed Shepherd is only the third in-state player to be offered, before his junior season. Hmm. I know Dante Allen was offered in the summer between his junior and senior season, and Reed is in between his sophomore and junior years.
Right.
And then Derek Willis was, signed early. That's the only three usually with in-state players. Dominique Hawkins is the only other in-state player they've signed, and, sort of got on their radar late. But with most of the players they've even sort of, dabbled with, I know Tavion Hollingsworth here in Lexington, they asked him to wait and said they thought, they would be able to sign him late. And Tavion, he wanted to go somewhere where he felt wanted.
Sure.
And Western Kentucky was recruiting him really hard. So, he went with Western. And, it was funny, that was the year, as it turned out, it would have worked out, because that was the year Kentucky wound up scrambling around looking for guards
right.
late and got involved with, Mark Smith and, Jamal Baker was who they signed.
Right.
And, had Tavion waited, which, it would have worked out. But, you can certainly understand a kid wanting to go where he feels wanted.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Hollingsworth, I think, did the right thing for him. And waiting around for Kentucky offer is a tough thing to do, especially when you have other schools courting you. And Reed Shepherd had, plenty of schools courting him, most notably Chris Mack and the University of Louisville. I mean, they offered him, 3 weeks ago, something or somewhere around then. I mean, they showed early on that they wanted him, but it just seems like it's one of those things where John Calipari is going to come and swoop University of Louisville recruit to Kentucky once again, a la Marcus Teague, a la Trey Lyles, Derek Willis, and some other ones. It definitely feels like all the momentum has now shifted from Louisville back to Kentucky.
Well, I think if Kentucky subsequently recruits Reed in such a manner that he and his family feel like he's genuinely wanted, there's an awful lot, he just has so many connections to UK, it's hard to imagine, that he wouldn't end up here. Now, recruiting is weird. Sometimes,
sure.
So you can never say never, but I haven't talked to Jeff Shepherd since Reed's freshman year, but I would be surprised, you know, if they, you know, feel like the recruitment is genuine. I'd be pretty surprised if Reed doesn't wear blue and white.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am, Mark. Mark Story with us from the Lexington Herald Leader at Mark C. Story on Twitter. Last one for you here, Mark, and let's get back on your vacation. The Kofi Coburn stuff comes down last week or the week before. That just kind of dropped out of the sky, dropped out of nowhere. Kentucky seemed set on their roster with the addition of Davion Mintz, and then you get this potential gift from the college basketball gods, Kofi Coburn, you know, first team, Big Ten player, number one overall seed, was just a force in college basketball last season. He opens his recruitment into the transfer portal, drops out of the NBA draft process, coming back to college, and Kentucky seems to be the far and away favorite to land him for this season. What does the Kofi Coburn addition do for the University of Kentucky and John Calipari's team?
Well, I think he's a better version, a little bigger version of Oscar Tshiebwe.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is Kentucky, as it stands now, should be a top 10 team starting the season. You know, if he comes, I think you have to put him in the top five.
I'm with you, man. I think you put him one or two.
It's going to be really interesting. Kentucky presently has a roster of 12 guys, all of whom are legitimate players. How you're going to manage all these players, because there's no way to play this many guys. And the flip side of, you know, having actually an experienced roster is you've got a ton of guys who are used to playing. So it's going to be really interesting to see how UK manages that.
This will be our last question on Kofi Coburn. I'll get you out of here on this. A few of my radio cohorts here at ESPN 680, Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage over on 93.9 The Ville, brought the topic of Oscar Tshiebwe and saying, you know, one of the reasons why he left West Virginia was because he got, you know, outplayed. Someone took his spot and he got upset, and was Derek Culver, and he sat the bench a little bit, got mad, and decided to transfer. Could you see the same thing happening with Kofi Coburn and Oscar here? It seems like a guy in Oscar's situation came expected to start and play, and now you get, boom, out of nowhere, a possible Kofi Coburn situation. What do you think that does to Oscar Tshiebwe and maybe his thoughts about sticking around in Kentucky? Because I don't think he can transfer out again. I think he did his one-time transfer, and now he's here to stay, right?
Well, that's a good question. He transferred technically before the one free transfer went in.
Good point, yeah.
He sat out. Now he was a mid-year transfer. So, to be honest, I'm not sure if he wanted to leave again what the ramifications of that would be, whether he would have one free transfer ahead of him, because, you know, technically he transferred before the rule changed. But, yeah, I mean, it certainly, you know, he appeared to be the guy, you know, Kentucky desperately needed more muscle. You know, last year it was just a bunch of tall, skinny guys.
Sure.
And, Oscar Tshiebwe is well equipped to provide that. But if you add another guy who has has been a better college player who can also, you know, provide that, yeah, it's a different scenario without question.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. That's going to be if Coburn does commit to Kentucky, and I feel like that, you know, that seems pretty inevitable right now. What the situation with Oscar is going to be? All right, Mark, I appreciate you joining us on your vacation. Go back, enjoy your time, stay off the internet. That's what I do when I'm on vacation: no internet, no TV. Whatever you're doing, have fun, enjoy, and stay safe, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, James.
All right, Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader there. Good stuff from Mark. So I did a Kentucky, our Louisville segment, then I did a Kentucky segment. So I felt like I was even in balance there,
you,
Jack.
You did manage to piss off a friend of mine. He's a big Louisville fan, though.
How? What did I do?
Comparing Reed Shepherd to Marcus Teague and Trey Lyles.
I'm not saying he's as good as them, but those were two guys that Louisville had recruited, specifically Marcus Teague. You know, I mean, Pitino hired his AAU coach or something. Like, Cal just came in and took him. I mean, and same thing with Trey Lyles. He was a heavy Louisville link. Kentucky came in and took him. Derek Wells grew up a Louisville fan. Louisville fans thought he was going to go to Louisville. Calipari took him. I'm not putting him in the same breath as far as they're concerned, as far as
players.
Well, at
least the first two. Maybe Derek Wells would be the one to put in the same.
No, again, it's not about his skill level. It's about
the fact that Louisville wanted him, and then wanted Kentucky him, got him.
And whenever Cal says "I want you," he says "I want you," and they come to Kentucky. I'm not saying he's as good as Marcus Teague or Trey Lyles. I don't think he is. My opinion is changing a little bit about the quality of player he is from what I've read over there.
You're coming around.
Just the stories and the tweets and things I heard coming out of Indianapolis this past weekend. Very impressed. And I don't think John and Mark Story said this. He doesn't think that John Calipari is going to offer him just to offer him to appease the fan base. They watch him in person multiple times, and they felt good enough about him to where they offered him now. So there we go.
Also, it's a Shibwe. Now
he said Shibwe. I've heard it pronounced both ways.
It is Shibwe.
It is Shibwe. That's what I thought. I've been saying Shibwe for a long time. So we'll leave it at that. All right. Let me read some text here real quick. Kreen, real quick. Our texter 437-9680. Texter says fair and balanced, just like Fox News. Strieble. I am being fair and balanced today. Texter says Rick hired his high school coach. Shabaka Lands. That's who it was. I knew he hired a coach of his. Texture says, that's a lie. Stribble said, no internet or TV on vacation. Look, I'm going on vacation next week, and I'm going to the wilds of Minnesota. I'm going to be in the woods. I'm going to be on a lake. I'm going to be fishing. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm not getting on the internet, and I'm not watching TV because there's no TV in the cabin, and there's no Wi-Fi. I'm not doing it. The internet's not going to depress me while I'm on vacation. So I'm completely unplugging from the internet and the
Coburn's
television.
Coburn's going to commit, and the IRP stuff's going to break.
Probably. That's fine. I'll have takes when I come back. That's fine. Texture says, LOL, Cal didn't just take Teague from Rick P. He made a phone call to Nike to give his brother a shoe contract and also paid him a boatload of money. Again, the self-realization, your school's in trouble for playing players. I mean, that's why they have to go to the IARP. The funny joke when your team's in trouble for that. That's really good. Texture says, round daddy butt kissing. I don't know. I think I kissed Jeff Greer's butt just as much as I kissed Mark Story's butt.
I almost did pop my mic on and tell him that I was also going to thank him for putting me on the Kentucky after the year voting. I did hesitate.
right.
Yeah, but also when he picked up the phone when I called him, he goes, so you're the guy blowing up my Twitter. He said the people mentioning trying to bet on the over under of how much I would talk
to them. Gotcha. There we go. All right, let's hear some funny sound real quick before we take a break for the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get our guy Perrin Johnson in here to discuss, which is the story of the day, really. Butch Beard on with Bob Valvano and kind of get his take, because again, he's a Louisville player. He was a Rick Pitino guy, so I'm really interested to see what his perspective is on that idea that Ricky P was alienating players. What did you like, Jack? Let me not pick it up. You cut the sound. You listened to all this sound. You tell me what sounds good and play that sound for us to give us a little giggle before we talk to more serious things in 5 o'clock hour.
Let's see. Do we want to do the since we were just talking about with Mark Story, the Shibwe stuff of Mabin Rummage and Charles talking about Shibwe?
Let's do that. Let's play that. That's actually, I heard this live and it's good sound. So go ahead and play that.
Oscar Shibwe, according to our West Virginia diehard, started pouting the moment he got his spot to him.
Yeah, he got benched at West Virginia.
He got benched after, 10 games?
Yeah.
And checked out.
Yeah.
Just checked out.
So if Kofi Coburn shows up there, you've lost him.
Yeah, see, you added Coburn. Yeah. I say, okay, every time.
Oh, if Louisville adds anything. Oh, look, somebody's not happy. Somebody's pissed off.
Yes,
somebody.
We go straight to who do we lose?
Absolutely.
We go straight to who do we lose if you even talk about bringing somebody in.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a fact.
So you said it, didn't you? If Kofi goes to Kentucky, Shibwe is non-existent. Would you agree with that?
Without a doubt. I think he's just already kind of a problem. And then if you have Kofi come in, because like I told you, Oscar lost his spot to Derek Culver, and Kofi's better than Derek Culver. So
why did he lose his spot?
Why did he lose his spot? he didn't work out. He didn't do his job over the summer like you're supposed to. And he, like you were saying, he started pouting mm-hmm. because Huggins gets onto him, and it's the tough love factor, and he can't take the tough love. Mm-hmm. And Derek can. Derek took it when he first got to West Virginia. Oscar couldn't take it, so he starts pouting, and so Huggins isn't going to try and baby him. If you can't take it, you can't take it. Sit on the bench and watch.
All right. I mean, again,
I'm so proud of Charles for busting.
Yeah, good job, yes. Intern Charles, West Virginia. He's a West Virginia student. I mean, he would know, obviously, more than we would. I don't know about, you know, Kofi Coburn being a, I'm not Kofi Coburn, but Oscar Tshiebwe being a quote unquote problem. I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. He seems like a good kid.
I would say this. Like, I don't know anything about Tshiebwe personally, mm-hmm. but I can tell you from a fact of, and I think this was less about Tshiebwe and more about West Virginia finding their own identity.
Right.
Before Tshiebwe left the program, went to Kentucky, they had some early season struggles. They're trying to figure out if they were going to play Derek Culver and Tshiebwe together or play four out one, and they ended up playing, you know, Culver around four other guys, and Tshiebwe lost a bunch of minutes because that's why he transferred.
Sure.
But West Virginia, when Tshiebwe transferred, they became a much better basketball team.
They did.
I think that has less, that's less of a knock on Tshiebwe and more of a they found their identity and they found out how they wanted to do and how they were going to mesh, but that's
right.
still a thing that kind of applies to this if they get Coburn. That being said,
sure.
though, if you're a Kentucky fan or if you're John Calipari, you're kicking Oscar Tshiebwe to the side.
And you're taking Kofi Coburn.
Yeah, you're taking Kofi Coburn.
No, you're exactly.
And if Tshiebwe leaves, you don't really care that much
because they're going to get they're going to get Derek Lively or somebody like that in next year's class, who's, you know, top three player,
exactly.
five star center, and he's like heavy Kentucky right now. Real quick before we take a break, we get Perrin Johnson here. Texter says extortion, so I had to read that today. Texter says good luck on the fishing trip, catch one for me, man. Fisherman Chase, thank you, Chase. I'll be reaching out to you after I get back, maybe do a little fishing with you like you do with Drew Diener and young Max Diener. Texter, Round Daddy, you should take the same days off as Sweeney. Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, that.
Yes, and lastly,
there wouldn't be a mixtape that week.
No, there wouldn't. Texter says, it's extremely well known that Oscar never wanted to be at WVU. He was forced to go there. I would lose interest too if I were forced to be where I didn't want to. I don't know anything about that. I don't see why he'd be forced to go there. I do know that there was heavy interest in Kentucky before he committed to West Virginia, ended up at West Virginia, but it was kind of seen as a little bit of an upset that he was a Kentucky guy early on. He made the comments that this is where he wanted to be all along once he made the transfer. So I don't know about any of that.
It was the type of deal where Cal didn't really recruit him that hard because he was going after, you know, other guys.
Other guys, yeah. right. But, you know, so I don't know. All right, we'll get, obviously, we'll get Perrin Johnson here after the break, and we'll talk a little bit more about Butch Beard, Bob Valvano, Purvis Ellison, all things U of L basketball, and a little bit of controversy when we come back here on The Take, ESPN 680, 105.7.